Christopher Sims is a new acquaintance of mine, an activist and a spoken word artist who lives in Rockford, Illinois, who is active in diverse revolutionary Unitarian Universalist multicultural ministries, or DRUM. Which is a people of color organization that you'll hear a little more about in a few moments. But I invite Christopher to share some of his work with us.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Chris. Dear and old friend of mine. Yeah, proud to be here, especially for a particular service like this, and to think about Commit to Respond and our earth and environmental justice. I write a lot about the environment these days, and even an event like this can inspire me to continue to share pieces like this within the UUA and across the country. This is entitled Poetry That Protects the Environment. This is my latest poem for the environment, environmental justice. We need poems that are wise, energetic, poems that are concerned about the birds, the oil spills, the environmental degradation and destruction of planet Earth. We need poems that care, that cry silently when Exxon or Shell destroy life on shorelines, or when politicians look at pipelines running through our precious soil and see dollar signs. We need environmentally friendly poetry. Poetry that gathers activists, organizers, and stewards of the earth in thousands to march, protest, and speak out against Keystone legislation that overlooks the needs and wants of the nation. We need tree-loving, tar sands-protecting, wildlife preserve-loving poetry that is ready to defend the lands that indigenous people have held sacred for years and years and years and years and years. We need poems that are willing to stand with native tribes that fight the factions that have taken and reshaped their lands. Poems that take their hands and raises them to fight, to form fists that unite one tribe to the next, one tribe to the next, one tribe to the next, one tribe to the next. We need poems that pause, breathe, pray, meditate, and relate to the decisions that we will make that will have long-reaching effects on the people who will populate this planet long after we are gone, long after we are gone, long after we are gone. We need poems that understand that the children will be here when we fail to form a better future for a cleaner earth. We need brave poetry that will back President Obama's decisions that show his concern for climate change. Poetry that will write a letter thanking the president for standing up against those that want to continue to make decisions based on profit and not on any scientific logic. We need poetry that protects the environment.
And I'm so grateful you're here to make that poetry. Thank you. Thank you. I didn't count on how it would feel to read the dry stuff that I wrote over this week after this beauty. Oh my goodness. This is such a great job. Christopher and I met in person for the first time just last month. We were at a conference on environmental justice that the UU organizations to which we belong collaborated on. So as I mentioned, Christopher is on the steering committee of DRUM. And I'm on the steering committee for Allies for Racial Equity, or ARE. And so we've been working together over conference call for a year planning this conference. ARE, if you don't know, is the ally organization that is accountable to DRUM in the work of moving Unitarian Universalism closer to becoming an anti-racist organization. And there, yes, is work to be done. So this joint conference was the first in the history of DRUM and ARE. All of our past gatherings have been separate events, intentionally so, to provide space for UUs of color to work toward their vision of self-determination and justice and equal opportunity, and for them to do work to empower their various ministries, to celebrate their diverse heritages, to overcome racism through resistance, and to transform and enrich Unitarian Universalism itself through their multicultural experiences. And at the same time, ARE has been working to create space for white people to learn to understand white privilege and to unlearn white supremacy. Our understanding has been that people of color and white allies each have their own work to do, work that is complementary and necessary, but different. So the Drum leadership this year invited the ARE leadership to consider creating this conference together, a sign of trust and a sign of hope, because environmental justice is an issue that transcends the need to have the two groups work on their own issues. So Christopher and I came together with our organizations to witness the results of disproportionate impacts of climate change on people in New Orleans, and to work with local people who are organizing and teaching ways that are helping to shift our society from that industrial growth society model to a life-sustaining model. You see, New Orleans is a place where the Great Turning is already happening. You'll recall that the Great Turning is this cultural shift toward a society that is life-sustaining in place of one in which the growth of profit trumps the growth of health and fertility and creativity. Our part in this Great Turning is to make this shift a conscious one, and to do it quickly before we humans make our planet unfit for life. So there are three dimensions of this Great Turning, three kinds of actions we can take and are taking to work toward this shift. This is the committing part of Commit to Respond. The first of these are called holding actions in the defense of life. These are things we're already doing, things that move us toward justice through direct action, like signing petitions, attending rallies, creating study groups, campaigning for divestment, or bringing legal actions against corporations. Holding actions target practices and policies and institutions that promote the industrial growth society. Some examples are the fossil fuel industry and fracking, privatization of water, factory farming, mass incarceration, homelessness, state violence, profit-based healthcare. These things are all interwoven. You'll notice that not all of these things appear directly related to environmental justice, but they're all related to the notion that some humans are more important than others. In New Orleans, there are groups training white people to see the impacts of climate change through an anti-racist lens. There are groups working to raise awareness of economic disparities between white folks and people of color, and connections between race and class. There are groups protesting continued extraction of natural gas, and working toward cleaning up the area so full of industrial emissions it's known as Cancer Alley. I invite you to think for a moment or two about what holding actions you're aware of or you're involved with here in Madison. And after you think for a minute, I'll invite you to shout them out. What are you involved with or aware of that's going on here in Madison?
Line 61. MG&E negotiations.
Shareholder advocacy within MG&E.
Right to work. Tony Robinson.
Minimum wage.
Moses. Jail issues.
Divestment.
Transit.
Yeah. We're doing it. The second dimension of the Great Turning is that of transforming the foundations of our common life, studying the structural causes of the global crisis, and learning old and new ways to serve the common good. Some examples of transforming foundations are things like study circles that explore how the global economy works, recognizing and defining the rights of GLBTQ people, replacing litigation and punishment with restorative justice and conflict resolution, supporting land trusts, sustainable communities, community gardens, farmers markets, local agriculture, tool sharing and hacker spaces, and the Occupy movement's radical democracy. In New Orleans, groups are creating community gardens. They're learning about the connection between economics and environment. They're learning about common causes that transcend race and other historic means of division. And they're learning about how racial disparities are symptoms of structural racism. How are we looking at and transforming the foundations of common life here in Madison? This one's a little harder. Studying the structural causes of the global crisis and learning old and new ways to serve the common good.
Occupy Madison, Tiny Village.
Tiny Village.
Community gardens.
Community gardens.
Environmental education.
Young, gifted, and black. I'm sorry?
Biking and busing.
Biking and busing. Yeah.
The new co-housing project.
Mm-hmm. Co-housing.
Moses.
Yeah, not all of these things are one-dimensional, right? Yeah. Yeah. The third dimension of the Great Turning is a shift in perception and values, changing how we recognize who we are and what we're part of. This is the inner work. This is the growing ability to see ourselves and our actions in new ways. Some examples of this kind of work are raising awareness of structural racism and white privilege, spiritual messages lifting up the sanctity of all life, such as the UU principle to honor the interconnected web. Wilderness immersion experiences, protecting sacred sites, creating a gratitude journal or practice. Ecofeminism, blending political critique with the women's movement and re-anchoring us in the natural world in a relational way. The environmental justice movement, and the visual and performance art that gives us access to our connectedness in a visceral way. In New Orleans, there are Native tribes fighting to be recognized by the government so they might gain control over the oil and gas under their land. There's amazing art and music and food in New Orleans that touch and move people in ways into new ways of being. There are groups working with volunteers from across the country who emphasize personal and spiritual growth of its participants as a goal right alongside restoring structures and livelihoods, like the Center for Ethical Living and Social Justice Renewal, which hosted our conference and did just that with us. How are your perspectives and values shifting? What are you finding within yourself that is new, opening, and growing? We don't have to shout these out. But it's something to go home with. So these dimensions of the Great Turning are all ways in which we hope. We were hoping in New Orleans when we started our time together by examining the impact of our own perceptions on how we respond to the work we were about to do. And we were hoping together as we went out into the city in small groups to install compact fluorescent light bulbs in the homes of people who didn't have the resources to do that themselves, but who wanted to reduce their energy consumption. We were hoping together in Selma the week before when we stood on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, recalling the hoping together of those who stood there 50 years before. And in Birmingham, we were hoping together the day before when we were sharing the impacts of having to have what Black people call the conversation with their children. That talk of how to try to act and respond when in contact with police in order to stay alive. We were hoping together last week during the gathering of over 1,000 people, mostly young adults, to hear Ta-Nehisi Coates talk about the history of white supremacy and its impact on the outer and inner lives of Black people. Hope is a verb. As we engage in holding actions, transforming foundations, and shifting perception and values, we are hoping. As we engage in all of these activities and all of this inner work together here in community, we're building up our ability to replace the story of never-ending growth that has to be supported by never-ending extraction of earth and human resources, and replace it with a new story of caring with each other and for each other, and for our planet, with poetry that protects the environment and us.
And let me say before I start this particular poem, which is my favorite of my environmental justice pieces, not only will you, if you're planning on attending General Assembly in Portland, Oregon this summer, these words and messages that that Karen and I are sharing, a lot of that, these words will be expounded upon at General Assembly with a host of workshops dedicated to the environment, climate justice, environmental justice, and that kind of thing. So look forward to that if you're planning on attending GA this summer in Portland. I'll be there. This is entitled The Return of Earth, She. The earth has returned. She is living, breathing, realizing her breath was leaving. She was needing us to remember her worth, to recognize her worth all over again. We used to be her friends. We used to help her heal us, help her heal us. And then she lost all trust and faith in us. She has returned mad, saddened. However, she's empowered by this new commitment that we are signing on to, She wants you, me, and the rest of the human beings who populate this planet to never take her for granted again, If she is dying, then who wins? If Earth is dying, then who wins? She is providing for species. We live in a cycle that provides for one another, You and I, we are our sisters and brothers. We must take care of one another. Her lungs are smothered with toxins, radioactive chemicals, and plastic she cannot digest. She has cancerous garbage in her breasts. We have polluted Earth to death. Unless we take a step forward and reverse our damaging effects. Our next steps should be radical movements that peacefully changes things, with civility. We have the ability. Earth is alive. We can't let her die. I want my Earth back. I want to take each of our solutions, then share them through distribution. We all have effective contributions. We need to turn our passion into action, execution. Drum circles, live spoken word theater, or civil disobedience, uniting as one, getting arrested. We are all a collective that can't be defeated, It is needed. What about our children? What about future generations? Who is going to save the lungs of the ecosystem? Toxic water slaughters the frogs and the fish. Imagine how much they wished we didn't pollute their habitats. Clean water, clean air. Imagine that. We need our Earth back. She returns. We need our Earth back. It is her turn.
I've been using the context of Joanna Macy's work that reconnects throughout Climate Justice Month as a spiral that we move through over and over again as we embark on this huge and transformational work of ushering in the Great Turning. The last part of the work that reconnects is going forth. When we add going forth to the other parts of the spiral, the parts we've been working with for the last few weeks, when we add it to gratitude and honoring our pain for the world, and seeing with new eyes, we find ourselves hoping our way into a new way of being. Because, my friends, it is up to us. This is the work of our time, the work that we are born to do. I was honored and privileged to spend 3 days with Joanna in February with 40 other Unitarian Universalist ministers. When I got there, I was having a hard time seeing past my pain for the world. It's kind of stuck in that part of the spiral. This was January-ish of this year. I was awakening to the experience of young black men being killed by police. I was having a little bit of the winter blues that happened for me on an annual basis. And I was finding myself overwhelmed by other evidence of humans treating each other badly. The attack on the Charlie Hebdo office in Paris, the Boko Haram attack in Baga, Nigeria, the non-indictments of police officers who killed Michael Brown and Eric Garner, the measles outbreak, and the level of fear around that, and just the ongoing onslaught of new daily violence around the world. I was experiencing the intense cold here in Madison as well, and the severe winter in other parts of the country as signs of the damage we've done to the earth. And I was dealing personally as well with a deep rift that was opening between my sister back in New York and me. So when Joanna started our time together by telling us that we were born for this time, that we were born for this work, and that we have something amazing to uncover in the human spirit, I could not feel or hear the hope in that. I was buried in my pain for the world. I was fearful of the prospects of what my daughter's life would be like. I was overwhelmed by the work that needed to be done to turn things around. It turned out, no surprise, that I wasn't the only one struggling with this. And Joanna took us through a series of exercises that allowed us to share our pain and our fears with each other, feeling them together, as we talked about last week and the week before, feeling them together and allowing us to shift them so there was room to hear the good news and feel the good news. We started with gratitude. We started by remembering all of the amazing experiences we have had with this earth, on this earth, with each other. And I remembered something I had known but lost touch with, that it's still possible to find things to be grateful for when there's pain and fear. We moved into voicing those fears, crying together for all the world has already lost. And then we helped each other remember all the hope that is being enacted in the world at the same time, all the movements for peace and justice and sustainability that are cropping up, all these things we've been talking about this morning. And then we were sent forth, reminded of our gifts and our strengths to hope in our communities. This is the work of the Great Turning, and we have been doing this work here as well. And so now I want to send us forth into hope. I want to send us forth full of gratitude for all we've received, all the bounties and the blessings that we know simply because we live in awareness of our connection to the great Earth Mother and all her beings. I want to send us forth full of the grief and the despair that we're letting ourselves feel that comes from not acknowledging the harms that we've done to her, from acknowledging the inequities and the disparities that have arisen out of these systems of perpetual growth and dissatisfaction and division, and from the losses and the pain you feel in your own life as well. I send us forth with a shift in perspective that feeling our pain has created with the new eyes that we've developed as a result of deep introspection and exploration. Go forth and hope, and hope, and let that hope manifest in the actions that will create the great turning. I close with words from Chris Crass, a Unitarian Universalist and longtime activist and organizer. Chris says, "We look to and learn from and join forces with frontline communities generating resilient community strategies for sustainability, cooperative economics for a new way of being with each other and the planet, and resistance movements that can bring about the systemic change we need." Chris writes, "Let us pray, sing, march, and take direct action. Let us look into the face of oblivion and choose to believe that we can ensure a just and vibrant future. With the courage of our ancestors, the power of global solidarity, and the commitment and community of our faith, may it be so." May we be so.